crimes and treasons. It's lit.
Hey, I know who it is, man. It's your boy, Saha the Prince.
Yo, what up, though? This is Ill Tone from Blacktivity.
Yo, peace, family. It's your Guala Dizzy Rice.
Yo, this is Remy Wolf.
Hey!
Yo, what's poppin', man? It's I Am Super.
It's Jay Worthy, a.k.a. P Worthy.
Hey, yo, you already know what time it is. It's your boy, ASAP Yams, a.k.a. Yamborghini, a.k.a. Lil Newport, a.k.a. I got too many motherfucking aliases, but you already know what time it is. Crime and treason in this motherfucking. Shout out to these motherfuckers. They putting it down with that real trill shit.
Yo, it's Camp Blow Out.
Crimes and treasons, that's what we believe in while we blowing the treason.
Crooks out.
Tune in to Vancouver's rap radio show every Tuesday, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Hi there. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from UBC Vancouver campus located on the unceded ancestral and traditional lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. We honor the ancestral and ongoing care for this land by the host nations. Media practices are often rooted in white gaze, and we recognize that it is our responsibility to shift our approach and move towards radical empathy. While we broadcast from UBC Vancouver campus, our listenership extends to the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations and beyond. We encourage you to check out native-land.ca, that is native-land.ca, to learn more about whose land and territory you live and work on or may be visiting. Thank you.
Looking for an audioscape to put your mind at ease? Landscapes by Dune is a musical journey through sampling and field recording. From the busy streets of Toronto to BC's picturesque landscapes, the Belgian artist recorded an array of sounds during his travels across Canada. Landscapes will be released on Pop Qatari Records Bandcamp on December 8th and will be available on all streaming platforms on December 15th. For more information, check out at Dune as Dune on Facebook, Instagram, and SoundCloud.
The Bike Kitchen welcomes you to Access Night, a weekly event in the shop offering free tool rentals for queer and trans folks, with the purpose being to make bike mechanics more inviting and accessible to folks traditionally excluded from the industry. Visit the Bike Kitchen on Wednesdays from 6:15 to 9 p.m., located in the basement of the Life Building. We hope to see you there.
Running
through the fire and the rain. Me and bro had to go trailblaze. And I know everybody got their own pain. But then for yourself, like, what you gotta say? P.S., bro, that was messed up. And that's coming from a nigga you say a check for. Too young to pinpoint when it went left, but why you wouldn't love us? They said best luck. Pop up once in a while out on the next bus. I had so many questions, just never said much. Two little black boys, the odds against us. Ain't no daddy around to put the fence up. Had a brain to this thing, he was still thugging. Can't come discipline for a day, acting like he said something, then disappear for some years. Man, you big luncheon. More than lucky, we ain't no damn dummies. Took nothing and made something. We was out here searching, we ain't wonder. Nevertheless, I'm still grateful for my struggles. Somehow, my cup still running through. They say perception is reality. You try to change the perception, I can see it. Is you really down for me? Do you mean it? Cause of you, a nigga got a couple demons. But the way I bled, though, you couldn't even be it. We was running through the fire and the rain. Me and bro had to go trailblaze. And I know everybody got their own pain. But thank for yourself, like, what you gotta say?
Back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. I'm your host, Issa Arian. Listen, and welcome. Listen, if this is your first time on the show, if you're first time listening to the show, listen, you're for a treat. If this is something that you are loyal to, and listen, you keep coming back, listen, you got a home here. Listen, if you don't got a home anywhere, listen, you got a home here on Off the Beaten Path. You know what we like to do here on the show. Before we get into that, we are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, all the Coast Salish nations, land and territory. Here, live from the most western part of UBC, the most western part of the Lower Mainland. Listen, and what we like to do here on the show is we like to talk about what's going on here in the Lower Mainland, what's going on here in the province, what's going on here in the country, North America, the world. And, you know, like I say, like what I'd like to do on the show is kind of talk about the things that I get to see in my daily movement. And it has been rather, I feel like this first, I don't even know, what is this, the first quarter of the year, first half of the year almost, has been so eventful. Like, there's been so much stuff that's gone on. And I find that, you know, when you are paying attention to just kind of like, you know, to your surroundings, you kind of seeing things, you kind of notice some patterns. And I haven't gotten to the patterns yet because these things just feel like they're coming just, woo, 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 you know, just one after another. And shit has been wild, especially this past week. This past weekend was, it felt like there's moments in time where I feel very connected to like friends and family. And oftentimes it's not like the moments where you think, that you'll feel connected, because you can never kind of predict like what is the catalyst that's going to cause you to have like a reason to have kind of not even just have surface level conversations, but have deeper level conversations with people. And I found that this weekend for me was at least a I don't want to say a gauntlet of conversations, but I felt like I was just experiencing so many things, so many different things at the same time, within different groups of people, like different conversations I was having. And it allowed me for at least to kind of touch on so many kind of different aspects of myself. Like I went to, on Friday, I went to a film screening for a former colleague has gone to another company and they made a documentary. And so I went to go support and watch it, and you know, a little bit of friendly competition, judging, watching. And I went to go watch it, and it was about just kind of young people and how young people are seeing the world. Particularly, these three individuals were chosen from Vancouver, and it was like a rawness of watching people over time talking about their experiences and kind of how are they choose to move through the world. And you know, young people who are feeling optimistic because they feel like their future is in their hands and they have to make it happen. And I find that that is something that has been pretty consistent that we've seen. And so like kind of talking, kind of going there, watching the film, being able to talk through that with people was interesting to hear the kind of the questions that came up and kind of the conversations that it sparked, and really getting into this idea that you have to be out here, you know, helping, working on yourself, working on the things that you want to get done and pushing them forward. And it's cool. It was cool to see. At the same time, while I'm connecting with these people in the room and connecting with, you know, kind of this larger idea around what does that look like? What does this self-sufficiency look like? What does this look like for these young people? Like they always think about, I think it's important that we continue to talk and think about the people in Palestine who are to this moment, you know, under the gun, and all of the people around the world that are, especially young people that are not only set up protests, not are just protesting, but they are set up in protest all over college campuses all over the world. And what I have seen that has been very interesting, particularly on the internet, is how organized that people that the people are. And one of the things that has always plagued particularly young people in the protests and in the way and young people in general is that people just don't respect young people. They don't respect how they think. They don't respect how they talk. And It is very interesting to see just like the access of information and the access of collaboration amongst older people who've already done this protest, people who've been through it before, and them having the ability to kind of share that information with younger people now and building these types of coalitions that feel like they have a little bit more elasticity to them. And you see that in the interviews that come out from these protests, is that people are very clear on the demands. They're very clear on what they believe. They're very clear on what they want the solutions to be and how they can get there, and saying it in a way that feels digestible to the majority of, you know, to the larger majority of people who make these decisions and who are listening. And when you're listening objectively to kind of young people talking about we want transparency into where our money goes, how our money is used within the education system. And I find that to be absolutely that's undeniable. You know, and obviously they want to use this transparency to understand, you know, how the money is being used to fund conflict around the world, whether that's in Israel, Palestine, or, you know, in the Congo and other places. And people want to be able to make those types of decisions, because I find that the transparency, the people who hide from the transparency, they are not just hiding from the transparency. They don't want you to be able to make a decision about that. And how can you argue with, especially when you walk around a campus like UBC, how can you argue that there shouldn't be transparency around where the money goes? Because I started going to UBC in 2015 and graduated in 2017, and I have seen a new tens of millions of dollar building go up at least one or two every single year since I have been coming to this campus I think the first time I came here was in 2013. And so like every single year, new buildings come up. Where is this money going to? How is it? Why? Anyways, but this is just one place, and this is just the money here. Like, what about the money that gets sent out? I mean, UBC's endowment is massive. And endowments are massive all over the country, all over the world. And I think it's important that we start asking these questions. Like, UBC's endowment is $3.4 billion. That's so much money. Anyways, so it's important to think about these things. But like I said, while I was thinking about young people and just kind of the ability for them to get a little bit further if they can use the tools that are that they've been afforded with, but also Kendrick and Drake dropped this record after this record Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, and going back with my friends from home and my friends from here who are fans of hip hop. You know, we got Fellow Crimes and Treasons alums. We got a chat, and we're just talking about it. And coming to the show today, if you listen to Crimes and Treasons, you can listen to the old episode, and you can hear Malik, and you can hear Jamal Steeles playing the tracks. And just kind of the communication, kind of going back and forth between my friends from home or my friends from here, or even my mom's listening to the album, asking me questions about it. And it's just like so incredible, because it felt like there was a moment of peace within there's no peace. Like, the thing about it is, like, we won, like the listeners won. Drake clearly lost. There's some other people who lost in this exchange as well, but I was not one of them. I was very pleased with the type of music that I was getting and the interaction that I was able to, that it was able to create. And also not even just interaction, but the conversation that I have been talking about for at least 8 years, which is Black American cosplay and this idea around not being of the culture, but using and capitalizing off of the culture and the pain and the trauma of specifically Black Americans. Like, there's, I mean, listen, if you've ever done, hear me done stand up, I have a few jokes about it, but it is something that's so very specific to Black Americans. And it's something that people, I think people have taken us for granted, you know, and have forgotten. And it was up to Kendrick to remind people that it's in America, Black is more than a race. You know, it is a distinct culture and ethnicity. And so I think that it is important to kind of recognize that, like, not that it's separate, it's just different. It's just, and Drake had forgotten and they needed to remind him. So, that shit was crazy. And also kind of crazy, like, I don't know how I would feel if not only did somebody diss me, but they made a song that I probably liked and wish that I could dance to if it wasn't about me, which is kind of like the worst part. Because as I work in branding, this is kind of my laptop died on my way here, and I forgot my charger. So we're going to do a lot of this from my phone off the dome. So you have to just kind of go with me down my path, kind of see where I'm going. So it brought up just kind of interesting conversations, or just kind of around, what would I do if somebody dropped a song about me that I kind of liked and I kind of wanted to dance to, but I couldn't, because in the song they called me a pedophile. That's insane. And you just have to, you like, it was a complete dismantling. And it is just, I don't know what I would do. I would probably enjoy my $500 million though. Like I would just happily be rich and just kind of, but and I guess if you are actually a pedophile, then you probably should go to jail. So it's kind of sick. It's kind of sick because there's also nobody coming to defend that man, which is, I find that like there's so many people. There's a few people on the internet, like when we have heard of them being accused, and even like the most disgusting people have defenders. But then you have people like Puff Daddy. Nobody comes to defense. Drake, nobody's come to this man's defense. You have to say like, okay, well, if nobody's coming to your defense, what do these people know that I don't know? Because I don't know you, you know? So I all I can do is go on word of mouth. Like, I have learned long ago, long time ago, that even your best friends, even your friends that you've known forever, you cannot sit and defend them and their quality of their actions, you know, and speak to their character. Like, sometimes you can, like, you know, but like when it comes to stuff, you know, accusations, it's you just kind of got to wait it out till you get to the evidence. So, yeah, anyways. And then within that day, I mean, and then later that day, later Saturday, I went to a funeral. And so talking to people about death and how connecting with people around death and life and was very just touched, not just by the, you know, not just by the people, but just kind of the feelings that people give you. You know, it's not being from Vancouver and having people invite me into moments where they are, you know, very personal and very familial and just kind of, you know, where it's about them and, you know, in a community, particularly a funeral in a community that knew and loved this person. You know, I always feel those moments to be, for me, quite important to be able to show up for those people because, especially in the city I'm not from, it's like it means a lot for me to be able to show up for those people and listen and share my thoughts and condolences and then also talk to other people about, you know, just about life and death and talking to, especially, you know, when you talk to people and people's parents getting older and you see that and it's just very nice. It's very nice, touching moment. So, you know, being able to connect people out. So this weekend for me was this big connection, and now I just can't stop. I can't get out. He a fan. I can't get that out of my head because that song is so catchy. Like, I wish I could crib walk so I could do the dance, but, you know, that's not, you know, that's West Coast culture. I'm from D.C., so it's a little bit different. When we get back, though, the first song from Mr. Chad, when we get back, I'm gonna pull up some more reggae music, and we're just gonna vibe because I got some stuff to talk to you about, but it's not sad, but it might piss you off, and I think that's enough. That's enough for us. Stay tuned.
Don't act like you don't know me. These hams deserve a trophy. Baby, it ain't no mystery. Got the best BBL in history. This cake will make you show up. I know you've seen this glow up as BBL Drizzy. BBL Drizzy. I'm going in, no ditty. I'm going in, no ditty. I'm going in.
just wanna live today. I just wanna see one more day. Wanna live today. Wanna see one more day.
Mr. Only's first one telling me respect you. I know a pain a good health if this message ever reach you. Never want to be a gunman, would I rather be a preacher. But the place where I come from, dark and full of creatures. Need help mentally, nothing prison are the answer. We have a epidemic and this worse than years and cancer. Good youth, but this place done mean a monster. I swear to God, me never want to be gangster.
I just wanna live today. I just wanna see one more day. Wanna live today. Wanna see one more day.
I just wanna run away. I just wanna run away. I just wanna run away.
Enemies them cool, and if them see me, them a knock it. Better I have it, than I need it. If I need it, I no have it. No one a keep on police, no one a keep on soldier. But when me I go do know if them circle on my corner.
I just wanna live today. I just wanna see one more day. Wanna live today. Wanna see one more day.
I wanna live.
One more day.
I wanna live. I wanna live.
So you're back with Off the Beaten Path. Listen, if you'd like to call in at 604-822-2487, at 604-UBC-CITR. Listen, you want to tell me, you know, what type of connections have you had over the weekend, or do you hope to have? Because, listen, we all need a little bit more in our life. And one of the things that the city of Vancouver wants to connect you to is to more parking fees. So the Vancouver Park Board has voted 4-1 in favor of introducing a charge to park at Spanish Banks Beach, which will be $1 an hour. Beachgoers need to bring a dollar an hour to get the popular summer parking spots on Spanish Banks. The change will come into force in July and apply from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Parking fees will be reduced in the off season from October to April. Although it's understand what the cost will be. There are 744 parking spaces in Spanish Banks, and the commissioner, Tom Digby, voted in favor of the fee, saying it's all about fairness. Now, Spanish Banks has been the only bank beach in the city without paid parking. How is that fair? This is, like, I mean, let's just do the math. Like, let's do the math. So there's 744 spaces. 744 spaces. And let's say there's 10. Let's say it's 50%. Let's say it's 50% capacity for the day. For like the day, you know, I guess, but you pay people paying the apps, so it'll probably be around 60%. Let's say around 60% capacity for the day. So let's say that's about, it's about 10 hours. That is the equivalent of $400,000 in taxes. $400,000 of taxes. That's about four jobs. Now you have to factor in, you have to subtract, how much does it cost to survey those? Oh, and then we're factoring the tickets. Let's say they get about 25 tickets per day at $80. It's 25 tickets per day at $80 a ticket times 90 days for the summer. So that's like $180,000. I honestly think, that there's the reason why they set it at $1. Like $1 is not that much money, obviously, but like for people who are going to the beach who want a nice family outing, you have to kind of factor that. It's talking about fairness, like, and it's the only free beach. Well, yeah, because sometimes we need free shit. Like, that's the thing. The problem with capitalism, the problem with like the, it's kind of the fundamental for me. Is like, I understand, you know, people's arguments for it, but the problem is eventually, like, nothing is sacred in under capitalism. Like, nothing is sacred in our world. There is nothing that cannot be bought, nothing that cannot be paid for, and nothing that we can't use money to influence. And I personally, I think that, like, there is a constant, there's like a constant pressure that's put on to just create the most minimum of vibrations and angst for people. Because listen, I went to the grocery store today and eggs were set. I mean, you know, this was a stick of butter, $17. And so like we are getting dimed and nickel and dimed every corner, everywhere. And you look, the city wants to generate, you know, nearly $600,000 with my crude estimate from these parking spaces. And there's no place where we are free from being taxed, no place where we are free from just being able to enjoy a time outside. Like, you can't go to the beach without paying money. It's talking about fairness. A staff presentation suggested that nearly half of the visitors to Vancouver beaches are from out of town, adding that paid parking will shift the burden of maintaining the beach to people who use it rather than taxpayers. Digby said, parking in the city is never free. Like, why shouldn't parking be free? I just don't understand why do we feel like we need to charge for everything. Even people who park on the road in front of the house, they're taking up public space that they use for their own private use, just kind of just saying that which is saying that they believe that the paid parking is going to be used to, that money is going to be used to maintain the beach. And I rather, I just don't believe that to be true. I just feel like this is always a scam to just get a little bit more money, get a little bit more revenue, and kind of nickel and dime us until we're tapped out. Listen, because when I saw the butter this morning for $17, I wanted to just steal it just cause, but then I was like, no, $17, you do that a few times and now you're a felon. So, listen, and you can't be doing that, but maybe you should think about it, especially because, things are starting to happen. Like, and we've been talking about this for nearly 2 weeks, but just kind of in general, things are happening all around, and it might not always be so obvious, but when, like, London Drugs was closed for nearly 2 weeks in Western Canada due to a cybersecurity incident, and that has tremendous impact on people being able to get their prescriptions or people just being able to, you know, to go to London Drugs. And so we are constantly seeing these cyber attacks on businesses. And I think this is one that I've seen that has impacted the most. Like, it caused a total shutdown. And so one of the things that I like to read on Reddit that you actually don't get from the CBC is that a lot of these places that get shut down are like, you know, what we envisioned of were like hackers back in the day, you know, like in a computer room and with the green screen and typing and, you know, holding websites and programs for hostage, getting money. And that's exactly what's going on. Honestly, it's pretty cool on one time because, like, you know, we talk about heists and we talk about, like, what we like to see, like, heist. But also, it's kind of nuts because, like, why aren't they ever doing it to the people who need it? Like, I'm still just trying to figure out how come they haven't hacked Sally Mae or hacked any government agency that is necessary. That, you know, keep hacking London Drugs and Safeway and stealing people's information from Target. You know, these are nice, but we need the real shit to happen. Like, when are they going to hack the, hack into a drone or something like that? Do something crazy. We haven't seen it yet. But what we have seen, my next story is about the bees. So, listen, if you see a bee in your neighborhood, listen, save it, but also know this about it. It, like Drake, might not be one of us. When we get back.
Yeah, and you know you really don't deserve me. My number one, but you don't prefer me. I be working on me, baby, don't determine. If you're fucking with me, you ain't need to worry, yeah. I'm working on a fantasy. You're loving me, it's all I do. All I do, it's all I do, it's all I do, yeah. I'll take you high, no gravity. You're feeling me, it's all I do. All I do, all I do, it's all I do.
Strawberry lips and eyes of cinnamon. You're so finesse, yo. Mind is heaven sent. Clear the stress. Try your little tenderness. Ooh, baby, do that thing. Yeah, kiss my neck again. Ooh, baby, you the moon and stars and you my medicine. You are the light inside the dark. I love your elements. Everything is everything, yeah. Give me all your energy, yeah. Kiss me and let's make love. I miss your touch. You are my everything. You are my everything. Yeah.
You make me feel like I'm moving real life. Ay. I need some love. If this ain't real life, ay, I know it feel right. Ay. I need some love.
And you know you really don't deserve me. My number one, but you don't prefer me. I be working on me, baby, don't determine. Fucking with me, you ain't need to worry, yeah. I'm working on a fantasy. You're loving me, it's all I do. All I do, it's all I do, it's all I do, yeah. I'll take you high, no gravity. You're feeling me, it's all I do. All I do, all I do, it's all I do, yeah.
Back off the beaten path here on 101.9 CITR. That's it. Listen, you know, we're out here connecting. And one thing that we are connecting with is outside as we understand just kind of like, you know, how important the bumblebees are to our, you know, to our existence. We have, I feel like in the past few years, people have started to take more notice and kind of, you know, show support. But what we are seeing is that non-native bumblebees are becoming common in the lower mainland. So UBC researchers have seen that eastern bumblebees represent more than 40% of all bees that they have observed. And while that's not necessarily an issue, it's just saying that bumblebees have been imported from Ontario and Europe to, and for use in BC greenhouses, and have become kind of the large share of the pollinators for tomatoes, peppers, and cucumbers here. While it's been okay, these bees have succeeded to survive in their new habitat, just kind of due to the ways in which the climate has, you know, has been kind of similar across. And so I think that it's really interesting, because one of the things that we've seen is that, one, not only are bees, you know, incredibly important, but that they have, we've seen a decline in insects in general. I find TikTok to be fascinating in the sense of, you know, you can find some, like, every once in a while you find a, I mean, this is what the whole thing is about. Every once in a while you find a video in there that makes a lot of sense, or it's just kind of like, you know, makes you go And so one of the things that I saw in there one time was that, like, when you used to go on a road trip, just all of the bugs that used to splatter on the windshield, that used to be a thing, that just really no longer exists. And it's kind of these small changes that, you know, that we see over time that have, or at least should have, kind of big impacts on the ways in which we think about, you know, our impact on climate change, and how and what is and is not changing. And so I think it goes on with that, that people are noticing the bees and taking note. And so I think it's, you know, I think we need to keep our eye on it. It's like I also saw, just kind of like, you looking at all the animals that have gone extinct in North America since the colonists first step foot on this land. And I find that there's too little reflection. And I mean, listen, if you listen to the show, you listen to Off the Beaten Path, you know that I'm a very well known, I mean, might not be very well known, but my hate for Drake is pretty well known. And understanding that, you'll understand this next point, which is, if you have some self-awareness, you have some kind of self-reflection, you should know that maybe if your presence isn't benefiting the people who were already there when you got there, then maybe you should do some reflection and kind of thinking about, if my presence isn't benefiting the people who are here before me, then what is my purpose in this? What is my purpose in this sphere? And I think if you think about that, then it could take you a long way. Listen, when we get back, we have some funny stories. We also have some stories that'll make you mad. Either way, I got some music that will lift you up. So stay tuned.
uninvited, knocking loud on my door to save me, but you don't care at all. No, you don't care at all.
Back it off the beam path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. Listen, so one of the things that has gone on is I always find it very interesting when we start talking. So I don't know if you're with it, you know, if you get it, you'll know that there is a boycott going on of Loblaws. So that's like Loblaws or Superstore or No Frills and City Market. All of the places because of the high prices of groceries. Just like I was saying, you know, eggs costing $11 for a dozen. You know, we're seeing prices like I was trying to buy. This was a few weeks ago. Potatoes. So I like the, you know, the hash browns that come like look like the McDonald's ones, and they used to be 20 for $5, and now they are 20 for $12. I'm like, it's cheaper to go to McDonald's and buy two hash browns than it is to make two hash browns myself, which is crazy, crazy when you think about it. And so I read an article in the CBC, because this is how you know the CBC is trash. So the CBC says that boycotts are for the privileged, and it was an article interviewing people who are not boycotting. Now, who gives a fuck what those people have to say? Because those people are not committed to the cause. And not that they're not committed. Listen, like, I feel that people do not properly understand what a boycott is. Like, that's where I find that we have lost kind of the will and the discipline to, we've lost the will and the discipline to actually boycott. Because for me, when I think about boycotting, I think about like the most famous boycotting effort in kind of like my historical zeitgeist, like of what I have learned, which is around the Montgomery bus boycott. So if you don't know, this is Rosa Parks and the Martin Luther King, like that crew, the civil rights activists in the 50s, they set up a bus boycott to protest the separate but equal and the fact that black people had to sit in the back. Not only did they have to sit in the back, this was something that I just read recently, which is that they would have to pay in the front of the bus and then walk and then run to the back of the bus to get on the back of the bus and then get on. And even before I read the next sentence in the book I'm reading, I already knew that the bus drivers would just pull off. Like, you know what I mean? Just think about, like, right now, bus drivers just pull off anyways. But, like, imagine, you know, back then with the real racists, you know what I'm saying? Like with the real hardcore, they're just going to pull off. And so protesting against that, people walking for miles to work, getting carpools, rides, figuring it out. Like that boycott lasted 381 days. That is longer than a year of people taking the bus, making sacrifices, going to work late. I mean, you know, making sure they're getting up early, going to work on time, making sure that their kids are going to school, making sure because they had a mission to really, really, really put the foot on the necks of the powers that be and make sure that that shit happened and that they felt it. And today, when we talk about a boycott, we're talking about people who can barely go a week without getting Starbucks. These people are weak. Anyways, and so when the CBC talks about how boycotts are for the privileged, and it's like, no, boycotts are for the disciplined and the few people who are creative. Because, listen, there is no amount of, like, people are talking about how a lot of people, which is true, that maybe Loblaws is their only option, or it's one of two options, and the other option is more expensive. And while that's true, that is potentially true, to be a real, you know, you're a class trader by not being creative. And so, like, the thing is, like, I find that people need to learn how to come up with better, I don't say better excuses, but just kind of like we need to, as a collective, just kind of be more creative about the boycotts. And if you're really serious about boycotting and you are really serious about building community, and what does a boycott mean? Because obviously this is a collective action to gain a desired outcome. And so if that means that, you know, you and your family have to sacrifice, then that sometimes that's what it means. Or if that means that, like, you know, we have to start, you know, making sure that our neighbors are taken care of who can't. You know, maybe people who can't go as far as to go out of their way to go to a different grocery store, we'll have to organize rides for them. Or if they can't afford to pay, you know, the little bit of premium that it costs, you know, then we have to be able to help other people. But if you're serious about taking part of the boycott, these types of things need to be thought about. And if you're serious about trying to make a change, then these things need to be talked about as well. All these things are incredibly important and crucial, because boycotts are not only going to hurt the corporation, but what they're counting on is the fact that you don't have the will to keep it up. And whenever I think about not having the will, I think about the Montgomery bus boycott and just the ways in which people gave 381 days of their life to making sure that the owner operators of the people on the buses felt it. And so thank you for joining me for All Being Passed for this last hour. With us, we do this every Tuesday right after Crimes and Treasons from 8 to 10 on All Being Passed from 10 to 11. Listen, it's coming up to my favorite part of the year, favorite time of the year. We'll have some people out here to talk about it. I'll tell you a little bit more about it when we get there. But until then, I'm your boy Issa, and I am out.